You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.
Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Johnny McGonigal.
Okay, Penn State fans, you know what time it is. It's time for the Blue White Breakdown podcast. Johnny McGonigal and Bob Flounders here on a very nice Tuesday afternoon. We're recording this, or taping it, depending on how you're consuming this, around 3 o'clock on Tuesday. As always, Johnny and I are going to get to James Franklin's regularly scheduled presser, which is usually at 12:30. I was up there, just made it back. Before we get to that, Johnny, just a couple of notes. I see that Jair Brown, Penn State's talented safety and also one of the most interesting quotes on the team, in addition to being the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, he's also the Bronco Nagurski National Defensive Player of the Week. Johnny, I don't know. You're a youngin, so I don't know how familiar you are with Bronco Nagurski, but he was a heck of a player. It's a national award, well-deserved. Penn State Central Michigan Chippewas, noon on Saturday. And I'm glad you survived your trip to Auburn. What a great time.
Yeah, Bob, it was an awesome time. I mean, that environment down there at Auburn was great. I mean, even game aside, you know, just able to get down there, Toomer's Corner, Friday afternoon, meet up with some former classmates and enjoy the atmosphere on Friday. And then to be down there around game day in the morning, you know, seeing how many Penn State fans were down there. They traveled well, kind of expected out of Penn State fans. But, you know, this home and home was a really unique experience for both sets of fan bases, being able to travel to, you know, new parts of the country, new stadium, new environments. And I thought it was a really neat crowd. You know, Jordan Hare Stadium with the orange out, you know, it was loud. It was a good crowd before the game, and I think as it progressed, it got a little quieter, as the game kind of slipped away from the Tigers. But really good experience, really good game down there.
Yeah, and I think a little bit later on the podcast, we'll get into a question you asked James Franklin late in his post-game presser, talking about, you know, a lot was made that I think Penn State was the first team and only team to make a trip to Auburn. This was the first time a Big Ten team has ever done that. I know that you asked him a question, and he had a very interesting answer about, I guess, the future of a potential game like this for Penn State and what it would mean to Penn State. Interesting answer. We'll get to that a little bit later. That's what's known as a tease. And, Johnny, I'm kind of jealous. You and I were in the press box. Our man Joe Hermit was roaming around the field, you know, before the game, after the game, during the game, and he got a picture with the War Eagle. It's hard to top that. Of all the things I've seen on the road and all the things I've been able to do on the road, on and off the record, I won't share all of them with the Penn State fans, but that's a cool picture. You and I got to see that eagle fly. They released him before the game, and man, it's really just a fantastic animal, fantastic experience, and to watch that, I thought, just really cool. And of course, Joe got a picture with him. I'm going to be jealous for the rest of my life, but Joe deserved it. You know what I mean? He's a hardworking guy, but man, what a neat pregame scene.
It was really cool. I mean, before the game, you know, we get there, the stadium, you know, local time, right? It was a 2:30 kick. So we get there, we're waiting in line for our credentials at 11:30, get in. And I pretty much went on the field right away and just hung out until they basically told us to leave. You know, but I did hear there was going to be an issue getting back up to the press box for kickoff, you know, with the coaches like holding the elevator. And I'm like, all right, well, I wanted to be on the field for the, you know, the War Eagle ceremony, but I wasn't able to. So props to Joe for getting that pick. You know, that's something that he'll hold on to forever, right? And it was a really cool, really cool pregame atmosphere, really good tradition that they've got down there. And yeah, Joe will have that one over us forever.
Yeah, I can't top that. I'm thinking of some of the mascots we're going to see on the road this year. I mean, Michigan doesn't have a live Wolverine, and if they did, Johnny, I wouldn't mess with it.
Are you telling me Purdue's Boilermaker, the crazed and bizarre looking mascot they have there, doesn't get the juices flowing, Bob?
Well, it does, but I'm saying, like, there's nothing out there like for us to try and match or beat Joe, like on the remaining schedule. You know, the Rutgers Scarlet Knight is not going to cut it. The Indiana Hoosier, I don't even know what that mascot looks like. We might have to wait to the bowl game. Maybe something snappy will present itself. But Joe's got us beat by a large margin. So kudos to Hermit. Johnny, before we get into James Franklin's takeaways, I wanted you to kind of break down for the Penn State fan base your Associated Press ballot. You do it every Sunday. You are a voting member. Penn State officially jumped, I believe, 8 spots from 22 to 14 in the AP poll. I saw some people, prominent people on Twitter, think maybe Penn State deserved to be a little bit higher because of those two road Power 5 wins against both pretty good teams. I mean, the Auburn fans aren't really happy right now, but Penn State took them apart, and that doesn't usually happen, you know, at home for Auburn. So how did you go about constructing your ballot? I mean, they got two games coming up where they're going to be heavy favorites. So what do you see in the near future for Penn State? But how did you vote after the Auburn game?
Yeah, so I had Penn State in my poll last week, like slightly higher than the AP poll had on overall. Penn State was 22. I had Penn State 20. And so I moved Penn State up to 12, which turns out to be the exact amount of spots they moved up, right? They moved up from 22 to 14 in the overall AP poll. And so that's kind of right where I have them. And look, I really think everyone after, you know, 4 even, because I'm pretty high on USC and have been since the preseason, and I have them 4, you know, just behind, you know, Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. I think everyone beyond that, it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, if you voted Penn State and put them 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, I wouldn't bat an eye, really. And I think that's where this team can ultimately end up. You mentioned those upcoming games, Central Michigan and Northwestern. They're already massive favorites against Central Michigan. They'll be big favorites against Northwestern. And you can go into a bye week looking at a 5-0 team here, and a team that'll be, you know, if they're not in the top 10, you know, around the top 10 going into that meeting at Michigan. And so, yeah, I had Penn State 12. But again, I wouldn't, you know, it's something that I really like to do every week is this poll. I was able to do it last year, able to do it this year. And yeah, I do put a lot of research, a lot of time into this. And listeners haven't read it yet, you know, look out for it every Sunday morning. I post my whole ballot and my reasoning behind it. And yeah, not a lot of movement in the top 10 this week. I think really the only team in my top 10 that was bounced was BYU. But look, if there's other movement upcoming this week, Tennessee has a game coming up against Florida, some other big matchups this weekend that Penn State could move up.
I'm going to just say this right now. For selfish reasons, at the end of the year, if Penn State's record matches up the way I hope it does, I would really love to see a Penn State-Kentucky bowl game, Johnny, and I think you know where I'm going with this. I think, you know, if they get dinged a couple times, and let's say they finish, I don't know, they could finish anywhere from 8-4 to 11-1. They could run the table. I think that's unlikely, but I would love to see them play Kentucky, a Sean Clifford, Will Levis battle at the quarterback position. I think it would be a fitting way for those two quarterbacks to complete their careers, and it would kind of be a little bit of a, I don't know, decider in my mind. Who's going to play better? Who's going to have the bigger impact if they would play? But that would be a bowl game I would love to see, and I bet you the Penn State fan base would be interested by that.
Could we get like Joe Moorhead and Ricky Ronnie in the booth for that one? I mean, that would be a blast, wouldn't it? You know, the guys who brought those two quarterbacks in and coached them up and everything. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Maybe Taquan Roberson can join in as well. Like, just bring in all the, you know, former coordinators and quarterbacks coach and GAs and former quarterbacks, everyone that, you know, helped make this happen. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that James Franklin will be thrilled to see Will Levis on the other side, especially if Kentucky would somehow manage to win the game. There'll be some questions, I think, after that, but he probably would look at it a little bit differently than the fan base does. But anyway, that is the past. Let's deal with the present and the future. Penn State is 3-0. I don't care if Auburn's one-dimensional, Johnny. That was a fast, physical team. It was a fast, physical game. And as it went on, Auburn was much the worse for wear. And they were at home in the heat, and Penn State didn't blink. You know, they even from the start of the game, they took a shot on 4th and 1 on their first series near midfield, didn't get it. But James Franklin talked today about how the response from the defense holding Auburn to a field goal was a big deal in the game. And he touched on some other topics, but I want to get to your thoughts. What was maybe one of your two top takeaways from what James had to say to the press on Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, his comfort going forward on 4th down. They've done that, had some success this year. I still go back to that 4th and 2, the under-center, pass out to Devin Ford in the flat against Purdue. I think that really set a tone. And so they're not scared for, going forward on 4th down. And I think it also showed the confidence that James Franklin had in his defense against this Auburn offense that, right around midfield, first drive of the game, he had no qualms about going for it, right? And that defense pays, dividends and really, has his back and has the offense's back. And, James talks about complimentary football all the time and the fact that the defense stepped up really well. And, they took a shot there on 4th down. They took a shot. Sean Clifford took a shot.
Yeah.
And so I was impressed with the way the defense stood up in that first drive. I was impressed with the way Sean Clifford came back and, scored a touchdown on that next drive, and he ran it in himself, had a nice throw to Mitchell Tinsley down the field. And so it was a resilient performance early by this Penn State team, and it was really one that they ended up going away with it, right? I mean, 41-12. I don't think anyone expected that. We both picked Auburn to win close, and, I was going back and forth, and I'm sure you were too. Penn State won that game, and, I mean, they're 3-point favorites. It's not like we would be surprised. But 41-12, Bob, I mean, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, they were tremendous in the red zone. Their defense was tremendous against Auburn in the red zone. There was 4 turnovers, which were key. But Penn State's defense in the red zone, I think they had 4 possessions. It was 6 total points. Auburn had been 8 for 8 with 8 touchdowns coming in against lesser opponents. The Penn State defense, their speed, their depth, I think Auburn hadn't seen that yet. And I thought it was very revealing. I also, Johnny, wanted to talk. I actually enjoyed this from James, even before he opened it up for questions today. Kind of tweaked us a little bit. He's like, yeah. He always goes over the game, offense, defense, special teams, key to the games. He's like, said, 0 sacks. 0 sacks allowed. I don't know if we talked about that enough after the game, guys. What do you think? So, he's clearly talking about the play of his offensive line, which could clearly got the job done. A lot of rushing yards. They were able to protect Sean Clifford. The shot he took was not on them. That was down the field. They didn't allow any sacks to Auburn, and Auburn does have some very good players in the front seven, but he kind of left it right there. The first question he got was from Rich Scarsella, who said, you didn't really want to bang the drum for the offensive line at Big Ten Media Days. You were going to let them kind of prove it after this performance 3 games in against Auburn. Are you ready to bang the drum? He goes, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that just yet, because the minute I do it, something could go wrong. But the play of the offensive line, Johnny, and you can include the tight ends in that as well, clearly their best effort to date, and the fact that they were able to do it on the road with a lot of noise and a lot of distractions, you got to tip your hat to them.
Yeah, James Franklin isn't going to tell us that his offensive line is great yet. I don't know if he'll ever tell us that. Even if they go out, shut down Michigan's front seven, and, they're in a nice bowl game somewhere warm, somewhere nice, and I don't even think he'd admit it then, but it was a great performance by Penn State's blockers overall. You mentioned the tight ends in there. I mean, Brenton Strange had a pancake block on Nick Singleton's first run. Theo Johnson came in the game and was kind of a little bit of a decoy. I mean, Gary Danielson even circled him on the broadcast saying, hey, watch out for him on Katron Allen's first touchdown run. Olu Fashanu has just been, very, very good. I mean, he's just been incredible at left tackle. And that was one of the matchups I was looking at going into this game, was him against Derek Hall, who, was a guy who was probably going to get drafted on day 2 of the NFL draft in April. If he has good workouts, I mean, he could even push himself into the first round tail end. And Fashanu was just, shut him down. I mean, he still is just You know, keeping that blind side clean for Sean Clifford and even Drew Aller when he's been in there. So very impressed with Penn State's offensive line, the way they've opened up holes, the way they protected Sean Clifford. And you need that, right? I mean, it's not going to be as, you know, challenging against Central Michigan, Northwestern. But when you get into that three-game stretch, we've talked about this before, that post-bye week, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State, basically that's the season, right? That offensive line is going to have to play as well as they did against Auburn in that stretch.
This is the Blue-White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Everyone's journey is different, and we are honored to guide you to the best relationship with this incredible plant. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of our 18 locations across the Commonwealth.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's tie two of James Franklin's questions and answers together. Obviously, Nick Singleton, the true freshman, you almost run out of things to say in terms of praising him. 6 foot, 220. No one is making up ground on him in the open field. People have angles on him, and he's outrunning the people with angles that are supposedly fast. 124 yards, two 50-plus yard runs, one for a touchdown, one, I think, to inside the five that set up another touchdown. Big Ten Freshman of the Week, but let's talk about the other guy. Let's talk about Catron Allen, who had a very good game, 9 carries, I think 52 yards, something like that, 2 touchdowns, 2 hard runs on those touchdowns. James was asked about him. We could also talk about how he's remade his body. You know, he was in the 220-pound range, I think, when he enrolled early from IMG Academy. Now they list him at 201. James talked about kind of why he's, you know, because his nickname is the Fat Man. And James said, you really can't say that about Catron anymore. But what an impressive runner, different kind of runner. And also, James is also asked about, they're starting to go under center a little bit more, maybe put a tight end in the game almost as a fullback. Instead of just running all of the plays out of the spread, James was asked about that. But let's try and tie those two together. First, Catron Allen, what he's been able to do. And, you know, there's going to be a day when he goes for 100 yards too, Johnny.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Catron Allen, 52, you know, rushing yards on 9 carries, 2 touchdowns at Auburn. His first collegiate touchdown coming towards the tail end of that first half, which is a big score. It put him up 14-6 with less than 2 minutes to go until halftime. And James Franklin was asked about Catron Allen today at his press conference. And that's what I wrote about afterwards. And, quote unquote, he said, you know, he's a somewhat quiet guy and not the most expressive guy. So to see him on Saturday, for me as a father figure, looking at these guys like your sons, to watch that kid smile and his whole face light up and the team react to him is really cool. He's starting to break out of his shell, and I'm really proud of him. I mean, it was a cool moment to see. And, you know, going back, and I mentioned the CBS broadcast at the tail end when Brad Nessler, you know, the music's playing, the CBS theme music's playing, Brad Nessler's, you know, giving you the highlights and you know, taking you out basically. The lasting image of, you know, 41-12 was Catron Allen being lifted up by Olu Fashanu. His arms are wide. He's smiling. And I mean, that's got to be a heck of a moment for a true freshman, right? I mean, this time last year, he's at the IMG Academy. He comes in. Nick Singleton is, you know, ranked higher than him. And obviously Singleton has done an absolute, you know, an amazing job too, right? Like 179 yards against Ohio, 124 yards here. It was really funny when Nessler, you know, at the start of the second half, Brad Nessler was saying, oh yeah, Auburn's been, you know, keeping in check Nicholas Singleton so far. And then literally 2 seconds later, Singleton gets a handoff and goes 54 yards. And in the middle of that run, Nessler is like, Singleton, not in check. It was just like, all right, yeah, this kid has arrived, and so is Catron Allen. And I think the confidence that that gives them, I mean, three games into their careers to have this kind of impact. And I think it's just, you know, it really is invaluable. The offensive line doing the job for them to open up holes. But, you know, Catron's vision and the way he kind of just works and waits and is patient with the ball, I think is, I mean, as a freshman, that's what you want to see.
Yeah. A little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of Le'Veon Bell in him with the patience and the delaying and always falling forward. I did look this up. Not that it's a big deal. He doesn't have a lot of carries yet. But Catron Allen has not been tackled for loss yet this year. He has no yard. All the yards, when you look at his rushing yards for the season, it's all positive yardage or maybe one or two no gains. But he has not been thrown for a loss yet. Just an impressive guy. James said, yes, he is down to 201 pound. But he said, you know, some of the weight maybe that he lost wasn't great weight anyway. And he does think that long term, you know, as he starts to fill out and get stronger, you're going to see that weight go up a little bit. I don't know if we'll be at 210 or 205 or maybe 212. But I think we're going to see him get a little bit bigger and stronger. He actually looks really quick, too. He's just going to have to change his nickname. He's no longer the fat man, but he is just a huge part of what Penn State's trying to do, Johnny. And one thing I wanted to ask you about is when I'm watching the Ohio game and watching the Auburn game, Penn State is really, you know, the fans and even us, we're like, why did Singleton, you know, he started the game and then he didn't play for a little while and like, get him the ball, get him the ball, get him the ball. But you know what? I think Penn State might even be a little bit smart about this because when the defense starts to tire on the other side and gets into the third quarter, it's not a coincidence that maybe that's when he's starting to do his damage because he's tough to bring down when they're at full strength. But if they start to sag a little bit, and especially in the heat, and he's fresh and he sees that hole, I think it's advantage Penn State. I don't know if that is their plan, but it just seems like I think there's going to be most in a lot of the games, Johnny, when you see him get big runs, I think it's going to be in the second half because he's a guy that has really done a lot of great work in the weight room. He's got natural speed. He's probably built on that working at Penn State. But in the second half, I think he's even more dangerous because if the defense starts to tire just a little bit, if he gets into the open, they're not going to get him.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, James Franklin and Jaywon Sider, the running backs coach, you know, when they go and watch the film and, you know, they see the 54 and the 53-yard runs and they have to be tempted to just get Nick Singleton the ball 25, 30 times a game, right? He's that good. But like you said, I mean, if he's fresh coming in the second half, and also you like that's a testament to the depth that they have, that they don't have to ride this kid into the ground. They have Catron Allen, and they still have faith in Kevon Lee, too. You know, Kevon Lee, you know, he went down there for a minute. He came back in the game, had a nice little run, you know, a little jump cut through the hole. He still has – I mean, he's still a talented guy, right? He has ability. I think there's different gear, a different level with these freshman running backs, but they have the depth and the faith in their running backs that – they don't have to ride Nick Singleton like Le'Veon Bell, you know, with the Steelers, right? They don't have to give the guy 400 touches in a year or something crazy like that. And so I think that's just beneficial too for Nick Singleton. I mean, he's still a freshman, right? You know, despite, you know, the production that he's had and how good he's looked, you know, this freshman hit a wall at some point, you know, most do at least. And to limit his carries, you know, 10 carries against Auburn, 10 carries against Ohio. I'd be surprised if he gets more than 10, 12, maybe 15 against Central Michigan. I think that just, you know, it builds up that depth and it builds up, you know, the trust that you have in not just one guy, but an entire room and keeps Singleton fresh for not only the second half of games, but, you know, the second half of the season.
Nick Singleton on pace, people, to get 1,000 yards on roughly 100 carries. He's got, I think he's averaging 11.1 yards per rush, easily the best in FBS. He will face tougher defenses, although Auburn's defense, he had 12 yards a carry against them. Auburn's defense is no joke. I think that's going to play out against some of their games in the SEC. But now you see Penn State going under center in a couple different situations. You can see him go under center to quarterback sneak it. You can see him go under center with either Nick or Catron in the game and really a fullback. It's a tight end in the backfield with them. And also, Johnny, the other time you see them under center is with that T formation inside the 5-yard line. You'll have a quarterback. I think you'll have a tight end and two running backs in a T formation. They've had some success with that as well. I just wanted to get your take when James had to say that there was really no difference when they're either when they're under center or there's a running back 7 yards deep, quarterback still giving the running back the ball about 4 yards deep. I still don't quite see it that way. Now, I don't have the knowledge that James does, but I just think, you know, in the spread, when they run the mesh, I still think there's a little bit more of a delay, whether Sean is going to pull it or give it to the running back. I still think there's a little bit more of a delay, whether it's 4 yards deep or not. Whereas under center, and it's clearly going to be a run, I just think the running back has got a little bit more of a head of steam, and they're a little bit more decisive in getting the run started. But James was quick to point out that he thinks it's basically the same. I don't know what you think about that.
I don't know if he's trolling there or what, because I'm kind of along the same line of thinking as you, Bob. And again, you know, hand up, right? We don't have like decades worth of coaching. You know, these guys have, you know, studied the sport like crazy and have been around it. So you want to, you know, trust what they're saying, right? And know that they know what the heck they're talking about. But it doesn't really make sense to me either, especially when you talk about like the RPO with the mesh and stuff like that. Like, you know, straight handoffs, I don't think there's been that big of an issue in terms of tackles for loss, you know, this year, at least, you know, 3 games in. With the running game, like if it's a run all the way, I think they've done a good job, you know, pulling, especially. We talk about, you know, Sal Wormley and how he's been able to get out in space and, you know, create some lanes, you know, off tackle. I think they've been able to do a good job in that regard. And a lot of that has, you know, come out of the shotgun. But when it comes to that mesh point, unless Clifford's going to run more, which I think he can do, but you know, is the kid going to get killed like he almost did against Auburn? Like, I don't think you need to, you know what I mean? Like, especially upcoming here against a Central Michigan and a Northwestern, I don't think you need to put your 6-year senior in conflict in harm's way by running that mesh point and doing those RPS. So I don't know. I do like what they've been able to do under center, you know, QB sneak, you know, bare minimum, right? Like, just plow forward, and Sean Clifford has a couple touchdowns from QB sneaks this season. And I do like that little T formation. They have, you know, Brenton Strange back there, and you don't really know which way they're going to go, right? I mean, even if Brenton goes left and blocks, you could still run right. And so I think it creates misdirection and confusion there in tight along the goal line. So I like what I've seen so far in those packages.
This Blue White Breakdown podcast, Penn Live's Penn State football podcast, you can listen to it. You can watch it as a video on YouTube. There's so many ways to consume it. Spotify, Stitcher. Just look for it, the Blue White Breakdown podcast. Johnny McGonigal, Bob Flounders. We're going to wrap it up here in a minute or two. But Johnny, I wanted to circle back to a story you wrote and a question that you asked James Franklin. I think it was the last question of his Auburn press conference, you know, outside the visitors' locker room. It was hard to hear. I didn't actually get to hear your question because there were so many Penn State fans waiting out by the buses, and it was just really, really hard to hear. And they were getting to wrap it up, and you asked him a question. I'll let you kind of just tell the fans what you asked him, because I couldn't really hear it, but I definitely heard his answer, a passionate answer about the future of games, maybe like Penn State Auburn, whether it's a home and home, or you're going to play, you're not going to play a Big Ten team, you're not going to play, you know, a team that's a former rival. It was a home and home with Auburn, and no Big Ten team had ever played at Auburn, so that was really significant. But what did you ask him? And just kind of talk to the fans about what he had to say. Whatever you asked him, I'm sure glad you asked it.
Well, yeah, I had to repeat my question because it was so loud. James couldn't even hear it. And he's standing like a foot away from me, basically, with how crowded and packed in we are outside the visitors' locker room. But I basically asked him, you know, we talked about the environment at Auburn earlier in the pod here, and we talked about it all weekend. And so I asked him, you know, would you be in favor of scheduling more home and home regular season series with, you know, non-conference Power 5 opponents in the future, given how you've seen Auburn fans travel up to the Happy Valley last year and Penn State fans, you know, travel down to Auburn? The interest seems to be there. And he gave a swift no.
It was a swift, loud no. I heard it.
Swift, loud no. And then there was a brief pause, and he said no again. I'm like, okay, well, why, basically? You know, can I get something more out of that, right? And his explanation was long and a little, I don't want to say all over the place, but, you know, it had a different, you know, a couple different layers to it. And I think basically what he responded and said, like, you know, it's hard enough to win the Big Ten and the focus of the college football playoff, getting into that conversation and into that top four is the focus should be winning your conference and essentially don't take any non-conference losses if you can afford it. Because look, we remember back in 2016, I mean, you could argue that that loss to Pitt propelled Penn State to do what they ended up doing. But without that loss, if you had played Eastern Michigan instead and you beat them, they could be in the playoff that year. And so I think that is a big reason behind it. And he basically said, hopefully our true freshmen, if they stay all 5 or 6 years or whatever, hopefully they don't experience one of these again. And looking ahead, Penn State's future schedule, it doesn't look like something like this is going to happen, at least in the near future. You've got a home and home coming up against West Virginia, which should be fun, but even that's regional. The home and home against Virginia Tech was wiped off the books. The home and home, they have home and homes against Syracuse and Temple in 2026, 27, and 27, 28, which those don't really move the needle. So are we going to get something like this again? Is Penn State going to do a home and home with a Tennessee or a Florida? It doesn't seem like it. If James Franklin is like sitting here saying no, like twice as emphatically as he said it, I don't think we're going to get it. So I hope the Penn State fans who went down to Auburn really enjoyed themselves this weekend. So it might be a while before we get one of those.
Yeah, I was going to wrap that up with the moral of that. The moral of that story and the moral of Franklin's answer is the Penn State fans that were smart enough to go on this Auburn trip, literally a once in a lifetime opportunity. And it was it could not have gone any better if you're a Penn State fan, right? It's a great campus. It was not hard to get to the stadium. The Auburn fans are great. It was actually, they're not exactly rowdy. A lot of people dress up and go to those games. Penn State kind of took over that stadium. Just a fantastic experience to see them really take apart. There's some guys on that Auburn team that are going to play in the NFL, and they could be, standouts in the NFL, whether it's Tank Bigsby, who I really liked, more so than Jarquez Hunter. Some of those guys on the defense are going to be NFL players, but perhaps to see Penn State come in and really, really just kick their tails is what they did, and to do it and to win going away. What a great experience for Penn State's program, but also the fans. Kudos to them, because as long as James Franklin's coaching Penn State, I don't know that you're going to see that unless it's in the postseason or in the playoff, or if there's some kind of, when they expand and there's some home games in the playoff. That's maybe the only way, if you're a Penn State fan, you're going to see a game like that. But Johnny, it was a fantastic trip. We got a lot left to write about. James talked about some of his young players, Abdul Carter, Denai Dennis Sutton, some other guys. He had some things to say, obviously, about Katron Allen. But we have a lot to get to this week. Central Michigan is a 26-point underdog. Dave Jones and I guess we'll talk a little bit more. Hopefully we'll get Dave to talk a little bit more about the game. He might want to talk about something else. You never know with Dave. And you and Dustin are going to be back later in the week. We're not done with the Blue White Breakdown podcast. But today was fun, Johnny. I'm glad you had a great trip down south. I did as well. It was a lot of fun. But Penn State fans, we're going to wrap this one up. Stay tuned for more Blue White Breakdown podcast later in the week. Penn State's 3-0, and they look really, really good right now.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.